Hello everyone, welcome to ClearChat, your weekly podcast on everything disability.
Thank you, Jonathan, for that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I got with me Jonathan. Hello, David. Welcome. So what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about being inclusive of education and non-inclusive.
Oh, so inclusive education versus special education. I guess lasting effects of segregation.
Yeah, the lasting of segregation. But is it really safe to actually mix them together, two different educations, or what are the positives and the negatives of mixing them and not mixing them?
That's a very good question, David, for the viewers out there. So David wants to know, if you mix special education as well as the mainstream education together, what are the pros and cons for that?
Well, I see. If you practice segregation at such a young age, it reinforces that we're different all others. And it has lifelong effect.
Thank you for that, Jonathan. It sounds ideal that we are, you know, coming together in education. However, it can be difficult for people that are on the spectrum to get some kind of education when there is loud noises around them. Generally, for people that are young, they won't have much understanding as to why people behave the way that they do. And so that could be a disadvantage because it can create chaos. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's better if people were segregated. But in saying that, and not everyone with a disability is labeled under the one. So in saying that, doesn't mean that a person with an intellectual barrier, it doesn't mean that they both have to be classified as people with disability and be put in a special school together.
Yeah.
It depends on the type of disability that you have. We just got actually a comment from Sarah. So how do you cater for all disabilities in mainstream? That's a very good question. And diverse abilities are... ideally, we won't work in a mainstream, you know, society. And so that's where, I guess, the idea of segregation, you know, comes into play. David, what are your thoughts?
You can mix people, but you need a teacher that's with the person that's got disability.
People that are trained and have the experience of working with people with, you know, disability.
Yeah.
Or people that are on the spectrum. So... that behavioural, I guess, barriers.
If we started this off from kindergarten for every child, we won't have a problem. Other people will experience. Now we're playing catch-up. The kids would have had experience because it would have not been new to them.
Yeah.
If you start from now, you're going to have to play catch-up. That's when you're going to need teachers, special teachers, to help others to catch up. Once we all get into the flow of it, we wouldn't have to play catch-up no more. Only new students have to play catch-up. Then they get experience. So all of this is about experience and trial and having someone to support them.
I think in the classroom, we can have what you call special classes, which I'm pretty sure it's the case. Not segregate them as in separate them from the rest of, you know, the people. Make them engage, you know, during recess or lunch, you know, with the other students on a lot of skills, like networking skills, communication skills.
You don't want them to feel left out. But also someone being, that are very good at what they do with their disability can be treated as if they have no disability.
So they won't have the supports.
Yeah, they won't. The first person that says for support, they support someone else that's more, got more disability than I do, they just forget about it.
More disability than I do, huh? So we have different levels of disability, huh? Interesting. Just a comment from Sarah. So the government refuses to improve the education system. They make it too hard. So will they integrate disabled kids? So, yeah, so everyone has their own, I guess, learning styles. Yeah, it can be a challenge, you know, to ideally pull people together based on their level of education. But in saying that, you often have in a classroom the gifted child, the not-so-gifted child. So, yeah, where do you go from there? Well, I think that most schools would have this anyway. There needs to be different classifications, you know, different levels at which a student would do their studies. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not smart or they're too smart. It just means that that would require more support than a person who is, you know, very smart or is a technically genius, as you would call it. There has been some changes to the reform, as most of you have read, in which the special eds being no more in, I think, the year 2051. So this is why we brought up this topic. So I've got a comment from Sarah. Yes, and the method of teaching is hard for the brain. Yeah, I agree. It's something we need to work on, you know, teachers as well as students, and how do we match both. Now we'll be talking about our year in review. It's been an awesome year with everyone here at Crip Chat. And so I asked everyone, you know, what has been your favorite topic or favorite guest speaker? For what you like for us to talk about in the new year?
Stand out topic. You know, I've liked them all. The one I liked was the technology and also the disaster one.
Oh, so emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And assistive technology, I think they're two very hot topics. How about you, John? What was your favorite topic for the year?
My favorite topic was game and
the advocacy. Is always a topic. Especially having guest speakers like Mr. Riven Ryan himself, you know, talk about advocacy that are out in the community advocating, like Needy that joined us. Yeah, and also we've got, you know, Dr. Papali, who spoke to us about, you know, the medical, I guess, side of things. As a person with a disability. Some awesome leaders in the space, like Samantha Connor, as well as Andrew Fairbairn, who are both presidents of their respected organizations. So we got some idea on how advocacy works from their point of view and from their organization. And so we have to, I guess, bring in more guests. We also had our talk with, Alistair McEwan, who's awesome, and what he does, keep up the good work. A nice, humble bloke. I had the honor of interviewing. And so we continue this ability. How would you reflect on it, David? What did you enjoy about, you know, this year? And what are you looking forward to next year?
It's those things that I don't know. I do know now. And it's very knowledgeable. And that tells you to understand that there are things out there, and it helps you connect with others. We might have got disability ourselves, but you learn from others that have other disabilities. And if we were to learn from each other from when we were younger, back at school, we'll have no problems with knowing other people's disabilities and how others actually treat you. Realize that people in your own family, because they've grown up with you and they've known your disability from when you're young, know how to treat you better than others.
Yeah, because I've had that experience.
Because they've had the experience from when they were young. We want to be disabled and proud.
That's what it's all about, you know?
How do we do that? The sense of separation at a young age permeates through to adulthood, having submission places for people with disability.
So the idea of segregation permeates. Yes. People, I guess, like I mentioned before, won't get the skills required to interact with other humans. They'll be shy. They'll be marginalized from, you know, society. They'll be too afraid to communicate to people because they didn't have the chance when they were young, you know, to do those things. And so this is why I throw my hat off to, you know, carers, support workers who take care of, you know, people with disability. Well, I use the word take care lightly, but, you know, support those individuals, you know, but what's they reach adulthood if they don't gain the skills either to live more independently, they're going to have a hard time blending into society, mixing, you know, with society, becoming a part of society. People that are segregated in schools, do you think that would permeate into adulthood? Would that carry on with them through to adulthood? What are your thoughts, David?
Yes, it would.
Yep.
It would, because if you've got it in from young, they won't know any better.
Yeah, so they'll be fine.
That's why you want to get everyone involved from when they're young, so they're not shy. Until I became blind, I had to speak out because I didn't allow myself.
Yeah, reconnect with your community. But you have to, I guess, learn from scratch. But learn through, I guess,
learn how to communicate differently to others.
What's your final thoughts on this topic?
My final thoughts are, if we're going to be inclusive with technology, with education, start it from the beginning. If we don't start it from when they were young, there's a lot of perks in that. Others learn, you learn, people with disability learn, and different situations. So it's all a learning curve. And as you can tell, learning curves only get better by experience.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing, David. Jonathan, a few words.
My final word is, if we want to truly inclusive society, we need to move towards a more integrated education system, because if we don't keep it in status quo, we teach society that we're separate from society.
Thank you for that, Jonathan. So I'm moving them into an interrelated system.
Isn't realistic time frame.
Within a realistic time frame, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for that, Jonathan.
I guess
my final thoughts is that ideally, we shouldn't all be labeled under, disability. Everyone has diverse abilities, and they should be, put into that one, class. But rather, also, it would be good to, be mixed, with mainstream society. However, it's not for everyone. People are on the spectrum itself. So how do we deal with that? We need to make schools more inclusive. What does that mean for us? We'll just have to, look into it. And, hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll work towards, becoming more inclusive. What that means, only time will tell. But in saying that, we will be having a two-week break at Crypto Australia. So let us wrap up by just saying that we wish everyone a happy holiday. Enjoy your break for the people out there. And just live a healthy and a good life. Stay safe, everyone. You have been watching Crypto, your weekly podcast on everything disability. Merry Christmas for the people that celebrate it. And also, a very happy new year from Australian Disability. But for now, we will see you next time. Goodbye, everyone.